Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
having a rethink of the basics of teaching science. The story so far is that I've retold some science lessons, reread some science textbooks to you, even examinations, and as it's come back, as I've summarised it, I've come back and summarised it in a slightly different way. Now, does that mean that you change the experiences in the classroom? Perhaps yes. I think it's important that to have some focus, like a magnet or some scientific phenomena to focus on. It's how it's guided and how it's structured. And I had read through, so I'll just go through the basics of it again. I had read through a few definitions of science and scientific endeavour, and having read several books on it, in actual fact, and looking at the origin of the history of science teaching as developed by, it sort of started off with Frederick the Great in Prussia, public education, and moved on through various processes in the Industrial Revolution with the invention of the word scientist and the actual philosophy of science coming up. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that really captures the actual basics of it. And so I've sort of stumbled on to what the basics is. So any sort of belief system converts observations to significance. So if you've got a religious belief system and there's a dreadful storm or people are mean to you, you convert those observations into a significance. So if someone is corrupt in a and you observe that corruption, your belief system can convert that into a significance. So to is science. Science converts observations into things which are scientifically significant. Of course, this is a sort of feedback loop that scientifically significant thing actually builds up inside science. That's a universal endeavour, science inquires not of observations, social observations, but observations of the natural world. So very much it's an impartial witness to nature. So you take these observations, you put them through science, and they've got significance. There's a social layer in that we standardise what we talk about science and the way we talk about observations to extract whether something is of scientific significance. So there is importance. That's the, I suppose, the end aim of science is to produce thoughts or views or significance. Significance is a human attribute. We find a date, a time, a birthday, a marriage, a person, a loved one, significant, a significant other. And so significance means, what does it actually mean? Science is to extract meaning from observations and use it in a particular way. And there are conventions, conventional language, which we say, look, you really have to use it. We assume, there's an assumption that you use that conventional language. Rather than saying something is just big, we would have, by conventional language, we would specify its volume to take out the actual parochial yardsticks and replace them with universally accepted yardsticks. So we'd have the yardstick of the meter, and we'd get a volume to say how big something is or how tall something is, or take measurements. I suppose your other system of observations, social observations, we're not as precise because they're for a shorter use. Social observations for use amongst friends, so you'll make, and so that's a good thing. You'll only take a few cursory observations, process it through the aim of social observations, are deeply involved with game theory. This is the holding, withholding of information, or the understanding of the lack of information of other players. So it's a little bit of a different process. So in having the definition of science, science is a social engine which converts observations to significance, and that from that significance it goes either back into actions held in society, or it goes into the development of further greater development of the scientific engine which converts observations to significance. And this particular one requires that you have a sort of standardized input of observation. So the an observation of, say, black, 32, things like that, obviously require a bit more information to be actually fully processed and standardized in the scientific process. And so, going through the podcast and unpacking some of the stuff said in textbooks and a few other things, over pages, I've sort of summarized that into this instant guide of that a observation contains a number, a quantity, how much, an uncertainty in that quantity because it's a measurement, the units of that quantity, and then context of when that quantity was observed, who, where, when, what. So you can actually take all that information back and actually plug that information back into information that becomes data. So a data is a something is some data. If the data is corrupted or if the data is pure, it contains all that information. Now, for the various circumstances, you may leave off little bits. Very rarely, if I told you that my car weighs one, you'd want to know how much it weighs, and I'd have to tell you the unit of it. So there's very rare circumstances that you'd ever want to extract the unit from your data. But in case you do, if you're actually teaching the actual methodology of manipulating the numerical side of data, you would put that to the side and just teach them as individual numbers. So in the case that you're using it as mathematics, which is a branch of science, you would exclude the numbers, the units. Would you exclude the uncertainty? Well, yes and no. You're measuring a boxer getting ready for a fight. You would have basically how an uncertainty built into the equipment, the rounding, uncertainty, a precision required for it. So when I say uncertainty, I mean precision and uncertainty. Say if I'm selling you a car and I tell you it's 1 ton, for instance, and you go and measure it and it's 1 ton and 10 grams, you shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's close enough. And in our foods and everything else like that, we go up for it. A recipe is another example of where you have a number and a unit. So it's 3 cups of rice. So a cup is a unit, and rice is another component unit. And it goes through a whole series of steps, sultanas, 500 or 50 grams of sultanas. I can't imagine quite what you're making at this stage. And then context. Again, obviously, an example of where you need context is when you have a bill coming in. They want you to pay for so much, and so they take a measurement of how much power you've used, and they give the real context of that data, so that all comes together. So we'll stop at that point here, going through here, that in science, if you have the, what my lecturers used to say, the malice aforethought, you can actually tease that out as a requirement for people to specify. And this is not necessarily bad, because these requirements do exist in the education system, but they're no longer linked to any functional purpose. So an example of a requirement is that many people believe that a definition of a scientific table is something which has got a box drawn around it, and so they subtract marks for students who've got conceptually the correct idea of what a table is, a coordinate system, a spatial coordinate system in which data can be placed, and that's with rows and columns, and some basis of it. It's not a table unless it's got a box on it. Somehow that's got into the system, that is in the Australian system. Been told by many people to me, but then I will say point to a scientific magazine or a scientific publication where they've minimised the number of lines to make it easier to read, and they'll shrug their shoulders. But there's a mechanism of setting up a procedure or policy, and I just don't think the actual science teachers themselves understand the four components of observation, and therefore when they're teaching it, they don't have it, and there's sort of other mistakes. So there's a possibility to put it up, and to also the actual way that they write symbols. They don't tend to actually put the context of concept there. So say for velocity, using subscripts to actually describe what's going on. So the concept is constant, but the concept is constant, but the context varies, so they can vary it across there. So I hope this has helped as I'm going along, and obviously this is a low-key podcast. As I go along reading various things, I'll add more panache and more excitement to it. But people reading this might feel a bit excited that there seems to be a good definition of science, which is very practical. People can actually then use it, science as a machine, and the idea that you feed certain things into the machine, and if you feed in the correct thing, there's not a right or a wrong, but if you feed in the correct things, you get a better result, like putting the correct fuel into a car, putting petrol into a car rather than cooking oil. They're both hydrocarbons, they're both liquid, but if you put the correct things into science, which is four components of an observation, that's there. I suppose the other thing to finish by closing is that this is something which is rather staggered me, that I haven't actually read a book. There may be a book putting it across, but in general this is not a view put forward by books. And I'm sort of used to doing research and coming across ideas and areas of thought which haven't been done before. This is sort of like a retrospective research discovery of something that we have been doing but not been teaching. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.